Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. And every week, our colleagues from the Straits Times talk us through the biggest headline coming out of Singapore for the week. Now, it's been 3 months since Singapore moved into phase three. And on Wednesday, the multi-ministry task force updated us on the local coronavirus situation and the further easing of community safety measures. Health Minister and co-chair of Singapore's COVID-19 task force, Gan Kim Yong, said with immediate effect, those aged between 45 to 59 can register for vaccination online. And up to 75% of staff can return to work in April as we shift from working from home as the default to a more flexible hybrid way of working. For more insights, we speak to To Ting Wei, journalist at The Straits Times. Ting Wei, thanks for your time.
Hello. Yeah, so I think the main measure that people have been more interested in this round of announcements about is COVID-19 measures is the one about workplace. So I think for most of us, we have been quite used to working from home. But the key announcement now is that working from home will no longer be the default. So I think employees are quite sad about that, but employers are quite happy with that. So now you can have up to 75% of your workforce returning to the workplace. And then there's also no limit on the amount of time that an employee should spend at the workplace. Because prior to this, there was this limit about how they can only maybe spend half their week or something like that inside the office. So now there's no more. But there's also usual precautions that apply, such as having to stick to the limit of 8 people when gathering in offices. And for the employers, they should also avoid holding events during mealtimes, among other precautions.
Talk to us about a suggestion that you can do away with split team arrangements.
Oh, yeah. So for split team arrangements, before that, it was compulsory. But now, basically, you won't have your team A, team B kind of thing where people go in separately. So for this, I think maybe it might not affect most workers or most officers so much. But then when you look at places like maybe the manufacturing sector, doing away with split teams will actually help them increase their productivity according to companies in those sectors.
The COVID-19 task force also said they're scaling up activities in April. What can we look forward to? And also, what are some of the caveats, though? It's not free for all, right?
Correct. So I think for the thing that maybe will affect quite a lot of people will be increased limits for marriage solemnizations and wedding receptions. All this comes with the caveat that you must have a pre-entry test. So meaning that anyone attending, they should be taking COVID-19 tests, especially for wedding receptions. So in the case of marriage solemnization, you can have up to 250 people in zones of 15 attendees each. If you have pre-event testing for the solemnization, or if you want to do away without it because it might be maybe like too troublesome or too costly, or you don't know how to do it, as long as you keep the number of attendees within 100 people, then you are good to go. So it's similar for wedding receptions, also up to 250 in zones or maybe time slots of up to 50 each with pre-event COVID-19 testing. And the max limit is 100 people without the testing. So this number, just to take note, it includes the wedding couples, but not the vendors like maybe the videographers and such. And at wedding receptions, everyone, including the bride and groom, must take the pre-event test if more than 100 people attend. In terms of other events, there are live performances and sports events, and also business-to-business events where you can actually have more people with the pre-event testing. So for all these three that I mentioned, just you can have up to 750 people at the events if you introduce testing for all the spectators or all the guests attending. Again, this comes with the same caveat that they must be in zones of up to 50 people. Lastly, for wakes and funerals, there's also a slight increase, and this is not tied to pre-event testing. But it's more of on the day of the cremation itself, you can have 50 people instead of just 30 people attending at any one time. So this will give a bit more flexibility for families who are grieving.
And one thing that's come up is who bears the cost of testing?
It wasn't explicitly stated, but because I think trials for this have been conducted since October last year in terms of pre-event testing. And for the trials, I think the authorities have been bearing the cost. So I think moving forward, more details will be announced and I think we'll have a clearer picture when that's announced.
Ting Wei, what about vaccinated individuals?
So I guess with Singapore stepping up the vaccination drive, now that we do have quite a lot of people who are vaccinated. So there are expected to be some kind of easing of restrictions that come for these people. For the announcement on Wednesday, what they have is that basically for vaccinated people, you are exempted from the pre-event test at these earlier situations that we mentioned, such as weddings and maybe like sports events. But the caveat is that you must have had your second dose at least 2 weeks before attending the event, such that you can have sufficient time to develop the full protection.
And so, how would that be your proof though?
I haven't received the vaccination myself, but from what I understand, those people who are vaccinated, they will eventually receive some form of vaccination certificate from MOH. Mm. So I'm sure there will be some way to check this. And I think moving forward for vaccinated individuals, the multi-ministry task force addressing the COVID outbreak, they say they are looking into broader guidelines in terms of maybe social interactions and also travel, but all these have not been firmed up yet. So we are expecting more easing of restrictions if you are vaccinated, but the specifics are not clear yet.
We're speaking with To Ting Wei, who's a journalist at the Straits Times. Ting Wei, despite all of this, though, the shift in working arrangements, for example, increased capacity limits for certain events, why aren't we increasing our 8-person limit for social gatherings?
So that's, I think, actually going to be quite disappointing for some, especially with big groups of friends. But what the task force has said is that they want to choose to be more careful in this situation, because they say there have been other countries which have eased restrictions earlier, and this has led to a really big spike in cases after things calm down. So what, in the words of the health minister, Gan Kim Yong, he was saying that how like any adjustment to this number of 8 can actually have a very significant impact on the risk of transmission. And so, I mean, it could undo the work that Singapore has put in so far. So I think for this, they did say that reviewing it and they will adjust it at the appropriate time, but they want to be careful about this.
But Minister Gan also said that Singapore is discussing mutual travel arrangements with other countries, but that hinges on the overall COVID-19 situation, like you mentioned, not just vaccination, right? What more can you tell us?
So I think what he said sounds quite complicated or broad, but essentially it's just been what Singapore has been doing so far. So when you talk about the overall COVID-19 situation, you are looking at the COVID-19 situation in Singapore and also in the country that we are having an arrangement with. So take, for example, I mean, with the Hong Kong travel bubble last November that didn't take off, the overall COVID-19 situation would have involved how things were in Hong Kong. So when the cases there started to rise before the travel bubble took off, it got cancelled.
Yeah.
So that's one clear example. And then there's also another example that they mentioned during the press conference, and that's for testing. So in terms of COVID-19 testing, right? So you may have vaccinated individuals, but for those who are not vaccinated, what kind of test can you have for them to kind of like detect whether they have COVID or whether they have immunity against it? It's just basically a combination of vaccination, whether you are vaccinated, then the kind of testing capability that you can have to detect for the virus or immunity to the virus, and also the situation in both countries, whether the cases are rising, whether there's a risk that the traveler coming from the country has a higher chance of having COVID.
Ting Wei, always happy to have you on the program. Stay safe, yeah?
Thank you.
To Ting Wei, journalist at the Straits Times. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.